This here is 89.1 WEMU, and I welcome you to Issues of the Environment. It's a regular part of our Wednesdays on your community NPR station. David Fair with you, and today we're going to spend a little time talking about the health of a local lake. My guest this morning is Dr. John Lehman, and Dr. Lehman is a professor in the University of Michigan's Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology, and for a couple of decades now, he's been looking at issues that impact Ford Lake. Thank you very much for your time today, Dr. Lehman.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, David.
Well, if you don't mind, I'd like to start with a little history. Ford, of course, is a man-made lake. It was created back in the 1930s when Henry Ford built a dam on the Huron River, ostensibly to serve his manufacturing base in the area. Dr. Lehman, just based on the way the lake was created, was it always destined to have some problems?
It was in a state that we call eutrophic, or meaning highly biologically productive, right from the moment that it was constructed. And to a great deal, that was a consequence of the watershed runoff coming from agricultural lands up above it, and also from the Ann Arbor wastewater treatment facility.
It became sort of a depository for those things?
Well, they certainly contributed a lot of nutrient into the water and caused the algae in the lake to grow, sometimes to really prolific and nuisance levels.
Yeah, you know, I used to live on the lake back in the mid-1980s in the Lake in the Woods apartments. Back then, there were massive algae blooms. And like today, the water was unsuitable for human contact, or at least human recreation in the terms of swimming. Are the algae blooms in Ford Lake those of the 1980s, those of the 1990s, the result of the same factors as the blooms that we now see on Lake Erie?
To the extent that they are caused by excessive nutrients, that is true. But the source of the nutrients that was causing the problems in the 1980s and the 1990s is not exactly the same. In Lake Erie, you're getting a lot of water that is coming down the Maumee River containing agricultural runoff, lots of nitrates and phosphates from fertilization of the land by agriculture. In the case of Ford Lake, our research demonstrated that the episodic blooms that were occurring were actually caused by low oxygen concentrations near the mud of the lake, at the bottom of the lake.
And is that because there is so little water movement and current?
Yes, it's the matter of the construction of the lake itself as a hydroelectric impoundment, and the fact that water to supply the turbines is drawn from the very top of the lake. And in order to generate lots of electricity, they closed the floodgates at the bottom, run all of the water through the turbines, and the bottom of the lake stagnates. And as it stagnates over time, oxygen is depleted by the microbial processes in the lake mud.
You are listening to 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking about the health of Ford Lake on Issues of the Environment. I'm David Fair with University of Michigan professor Dr. John Lehman. Now, you started looking at Ford Lake back in 1999 or so, started taking some samples in 2002. Can you describe to me the lake as you found it at that time?
At that time, it was a lake that would exhibit pretty reasonable water quality conditions in the spring. But as you moved into the summertime, you'd start to see a massive and episodic blooms of what we call blue-green algae, or technically cyanobacteria, that floated to the surface, created unsightly conditions. As they decomposed, they created foul-smelling conditions. And in fact, some of them were organisms that released toxins into the water.
Since that time, you've been exploring some remedies to the algae problem. What has been working to this point?
Well, interestingly enough, the last time we spoke, I think, was 10 years ago in July.
Been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, July of 2007. And at that time, I explained to you that we had just been permitted by Ypsilanti Charter Township, the Board of Trustees, allowed us to do an experimental manipulation of the lake during the summer of 2006. And what we did then is we released some water from the bottom of the lake. In other words, foregoing some water through the turbines to release it from the floodgates. What that did is it created a condition in which it was easier to mix the lake. We released colder water at the bottom, decreased the temperature difference between the top and the bottom, and then nighttime cooling and the wind would allow the lake to mix. And as it did that, it restored oxygen to the bottom of the lake and prevented the lake mud from releasing the phosphate and ammonia. So during the summer of 2006, we actually had very, very fine water conditions.
And that stayed true until about 2012 when something happened.
Right. Well, it went more like this. In 2007, we did not do that bottom release, and the lake returned to a very bad condition. Then in 2008, we went back and we released the water at the bottom, and the lake was looked great. Everybody was pleased with it all summer long. In 2009, I actually wanted to do another control experiment and let the lake revert to a bad condition. But Ypsilanti Township refused, and they said, "Well, we figured out from you how to do this," and they didn't really want to take a chance of the lake reverting once again. I had a scientific reason for wanting to do that,
which was
that at that time in 2008, Ann Arbor had implemented its lawn fertilizer ordinance, and our research showed that the ordinance was effective in reducing the amount of phosphorus coming down the Huron River. And so some people might be able to argue that perhaps it was that, the effect of that ordinance, rather than the release of water from the bottom of the dam, that was the cause of the improved water conditions in 2008. And I said, well, we just don't release the water at the bottom in 2009. And if the lake reverts to its poor condition, poor water quality condition, we can say it was not the reduced phosphorus coming down the Huron River. But nobody wanted to rock the boat, and I certainly understand that. They didn't particularly care. They didn't want to share in the scientific adventure, let's say. And so they didn't care why the lake was better. It was better. And you're quite right, so I had to wait until 2012. And for people who were living here at that time, anybody who lived in the upper Midwest that year knows that was a severe drought. That was one of the biggest droughts in the last 30 years.
Indeed, and therein came the blooms, all back in full force.
They did. There was not enough water coming down the Huron River to allow the discharge of water at the bottom to the magnitude, to the volume that was required, which was, let's say, in cubic feet. It would be 123 cubic feet per second. And since there wasn't enough water to do that, they kept the floodgates closed. And the terrible blooms returned to the lake.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU. Our conversation on Ford Lake continues with Dr. John Lehman. Dr. Lehman is a professor in the University of Michigan's Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology. As you well know, Ford Lake covers 975 acres, Dr. Lehman, and it's home to an abundant fish population. Is it just that fish are just more adaptable than people, that they seem to thrive in Ford Lake?
Both Ford and Belleville Lake have always been some of the very best warm water fishing lakes in southeast Michigan.
Given the nature of the polluted sediment at the lake bottom, the overall lack of current and moving water, can you envision a time where Ford Lake is further cleaned up enough where it becomes a full recreational lake and creates an environment in which we can enjoy?
I think it's well on the road to that type of recovery. And I've just been so gratified to see the difference between the condition of the lake today and the way that it was when I first started studying it.
And so if they continue on the path that has already been determined, they continue adding water from the bottom, oxygenating the lake, then Ford Lake should only continue to improve as we move further into the future.
I think that's correct.
Dr. Lehman, thank you so much for your expertise, and thank you for your time.
Oh, you're very welcome. Talk to you anytime. Bye-bye.
That is Dr. John Lehman, a professor in the University of Michigan's Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology. I'm David Fair, inviting you to join us next Wednesday for another edition of Issues of the Environment. This weekly feature is produced in partnership with the Office of Washtenaw County Resources Commissioner and is heard only on 89.1 WEMU.